Welcome back to the Nullified Take channel on YouTube, where we've got the TNT takes for you on Traitors Australia. That's right, we are back. I'm your host, Chris, and with me today is two new co-hosts, or they did do the first week, I should say, with me, but Kahuna and Tom has made their way back to the podcast, and Mucky has phoned in a sickie, Kahuna. I'll have to talk to you later on about how do we discipline Mucky for phoning in a sickie on us last minute. I know you're one with the experience for people leadership, so you know I'll consult with you afterwards.
Well, considering I had the last 2 weeks off not well myself, I'm not going to go too hard on Mucky. I think I'm like, that's all right, Mucky. Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad to be back though. It's a good show to discuss.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Already, Char Dude, number one Mucky fan, saying no, I need Mucky on the show.
Sorry, man.
You know what, Char Dude? I think that $2 you gave him the other day to go buy that extra jandal, he ended up getting it and took too much time off. Maybe used the jandals to go out to the beach while you know it's still winter and got a cold. What can I say? You know, Mucky does extremely silly things, but we do have Tom with us again as well for his second live podcast on the channel. Tom, how's things going on your end, man?
Yeah, all right. Feeling refreshed. Excited for Melbourne Storm. You know, tomorrow night quarterfinals, going to beat the Broncos in my hometown Brisbane. So, yeah, keen to watch that.
What?
What? Yeah, no, I'm a Melbourne Storm fan, even though I'm from Brisbane. Because who wants to support the Broncos? You know, it's disgusting.
I mean, yeah, you get Dolphins now, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Lame. You know, they stole half of theirs. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's good to have you both back here. And we've got Andre Lee dropping in with a $5. Thank you so much, Andre Lee. You've been such a great supporter of the channel in the last couple of weeks, saying too little, too late for the faithfuls. Well, we're going to get into all of that. We're definitely going to be talking about that. And thanks for the $5. It will go straight back to the channel so we can continue to improve what we're putting out here on the TNT channel. Andrew Lee also says, congrats to Traitors UK for winning Best Reality TV Award at National Television Awards. I didn't know that. So congratulations to Traitors UK. They definitely had some smarter faithfuls.
I think anyone would.
Can you guys hear me?
Considering the current status of our faithfuls, it's not a high bar to jump over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, I'm embarrassed by these faithfuls. I've never watched any other season of the show, but if nobody can be as dumb as these people, I'm sorry, that's my take already.
Yeah. Also, Andrew Lee is saying, also looking forward to TNT's review and hot takes on the upcoming debut of the Traitors Canada in October. We haven't actually announced anything for TNT, I guess, when it comes to Traitors content in Canada. But like Andrew Lee says here, personally looking forward to it as there is some Big Brother players playing in that. I believe we've got a former Survivor winner as well in Erica. She's going to be playing Traitors in Canada as well. So that'll be interesting to see how she goes. So maybe we'll cover it. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks here on the channel because we do also have Survivor 45 coming out. We've got The Amazing Race coming out, I think, for both countries, Australia and for the US. So there's some content still coming this way. If we can make it happen, I definitely will try to. But I was actually just talking to both Kahuna and Tom prior to the podcast, and I said, you know, I'm slowly but surely getting back into the grind. I'm starting to look for work, you know, looking for a place to stay, becoming a bit of a grown-up again, you know, getting settled and everything. So as soon as I get work going, I think it's going to be interesting. I'd love to do this full-time, but this sadly at this stage for none of us is a possibility to do this full-time yet. Keyword is yet. Who knows what the future could be, Kahuna?
We need a lot more Andre Lees. A lot more charges. Yeah. So many more pumping it in. Yeah, that'll help.
Or you know, even if you're not doing that, I will say this. I did see on the statistics that about 60% of people who watch our Traitors content are not subscribed to the channel yet. So, you know, we're here for you in any case. But if you want to show some love to the channel, we're 26 subscribers short of 2,000 subs, which is such a big target here on the channel. Please consider hitting the subscribe button. You know, we will be back with some more Australian content in the future. Like we do Australian Survivor. We're probably going to do Amazing Race Australia. And we want to add more Australian reality TV to the, you know, I guess what we do here to our brand. So subscribe. If you subscribe, we'll continue to pump these things out as well. And that really does help. Congrats to NZ Traitors. Yeah, they just finished their season. I haven't watched it yet, but a lot of people are saying that it's one of the best seasons, if not the best season of all time when it comes to Traitors. So, you know, very high praise there as well. All right, let's get into Traitors. And Kahuna, I'd start off with you. What has been your thoughts about Traitors coming into this week? You know, you've missed a couple of weeks. You've stayed up to speed with everything that's been going on. Were you as frustrated as myself and Mucky when it comes to the faithfuls? And are you continuing to be as frustrated as I am when it comes to the faithfuls in the game?
Incredibly so. It's so frustrating to watch. And like last week when I wasn't able to make the podcast, for that week to be Luke and Annaville going, and you're like, okay, they've laid their life down. They made it very, very clear where they stand. And it's just falling on deaf ears for some reason. Even once they say, Luke doesn't put his neck out for people. Luke has really put himself on the line. He's claiming Sam. He seems so adamant. It makes sense to us. Let's just vote for someone else instead. And I don't understand, like, the way that, even in, maybe it's the edit, I'm not sure, but we get like information where you're going to go, oh, are they actually seeing the light here? Finally, something's going to happen. And then boom, straight back to the wrong.
It's definitely the edit. Yeah. It's definitely the edit. I made a note of it. And we're going to talk about that maybe when we get towards the end of the second episode, because there was clearly a lot left out from the edit that made it very confusing by the time that they had to go from strategizing to actually getting to the round table and then where the vote ended up landing with Gloria. We missed a lot. And I don't know if I necessarily like how the edit did that. Like, I'd rather know, you know, some people say, oh, you know, it's the shock and awe factor of, wow, he escaped another round. And maybe that's what they're trying to get. But I would much rather learn, how did we get there? Because to me, it seems really random at this stage. Tom, you're also someone that have been sort of messaging me. I know you've been trying to get on the last two podcasts, but every time, by the time that you're ready to jump on and you're finally home, myself and Mucky already wrapped up the two recaps. So what's been your thoughts on the show so far?
Look, I'm sure the 20 contestants in their own lives are very intelligent people and very nice people. And I'm sure it's the edit 100% that's making them out to look so, let's say, 8-year-old instead of, you know, adult in terms of their strategy and intelligence levels. But it just baffles me every
episode. They're making Mucky look like a genius. Like, I mean, can you imagine if Mucky was to play this show, he would be the Sam of the season. He would be the smartest person out there. That's just the level that we're dealing with here.
100%. It's hurting me. I loved last week, but this week was a little painful, I'm not going to lie. I felt like I was watching maths. That's how bad the strategy was. And there's not even strategy in maths, so I don't know what's going on, you know?
Yeah, and they use the word evidence. They go, the evidence is part... I'm like, what evidence? Like, is the evidence the little tingly thing in your stomach? I go, then there's no evidence. First of all, we've talked about, Chris, off podcast, that the game itself is geared towards the Traitors. It's hard to find actual concrete evidence to actually lean on. So much of it is gut, so much of it is instinct. But then they actually come out and keep using the same word over and over again, talking about evidence. And it's infuriating. I'm like, you say evidence and then you don't present any. You just say like random stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, Mucky's
there's plenty of evidence for that, for sure.
There's plenty of evidence for Chadu's comedy, and Mucky is an unusual guy, and that is why we love him so much. Yeah.
Thanks, Chadu.
And then Scott here in the live saying, wasn't until I saw this that I realized I'm behind in watching these episodes. Oh, well, Scott, go back and watch the episode. Like, it is extremely frustrating, right? But I think that I kind of started talking about this last week when I said to Mucky, you have to be either all in on Sam now, or if you don't like Sam, then it's going to be a hard watch for you the next couple of episodes or the next episode leading into the final, because he really has been the superstar of the season. He is running the season. Now, I don't know if it's because he is that brilliant or if it is because the cast is just that far behind Tom. Like, make it make sense to me. How is Sam capable of, you know, using the puppet strings that he has and being the puppet master that he is, how is he capable to sort of see Walker's way through this whole bloody traitors that is out there and nobody is actually firing any shots at him and nothing's landing?
I think it's his competition, but two, I got to give him some credit in the fact that when he lies, like, it's just, you really can believe him to an extent. Like, he doesn't stutter. He really looks like he believes what he's saying. But I think without him, this season would not be the greatest. But I love him personally, and I think a lot of people should at least be entertained by him. I'm really interested to see him play a game like Survivor. Could you imagine him, like, in the next season of Survivor or something? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. He'd be
first boot. He goes too hard.
Now, maybe he would be, if he does go and play the game, if anybody watched Traitors and they know what he's capable of, I feel like he would. But there must be something, and we spoke about this last week between myself and Mucky, where when he talks to people in the game, that overconfidence and arrogance that we see, you know, I don't know if it's arrogance or confidence, but anyways, the way the showman that he is when he talks to us on the cameras, that is not who he is when he's speaking to his fellow house guests. Like, we're not seeing the interpersonal connections. But, I mean, we even had Gloria in the second episode here say that this was her boy. This was someone she's worked with since day one that she never thought she would turn against. So we never saw that relationship. There's so much we're not seeing when it comes to Sam's interpersonal skills, his soft skills to get people to trust them and work with him. And I've always said, like, if you were to go and play Survivor or play any of these reality TV shows, Tom, you would want to be the showman to the camera, not necessarily to their faces, right? So I feel like that is what Sam is doing right now. And he is playing a good game. You make a great case for him to go and play Survivor, because I think he would be in the mold of a George. Like, I don't know if he would be as successful as George. I know that's high praise to give to anyone, but he would be that type of character if he was to go and play.
Can I give you a thought? He's not George. He's a fusion in between George and Simon. He's the middle in between them.
I can see
a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
I can see it.
I reckon he'd be the next superstar on Survivor if he played. So I hope that happens one day.
Right, there you got it. Sam is getting his first endorsement here on the TNT channel to go and play Survivor. Kahuna looks very annoyed by this. Kahuna, tell me why you don't want to see this guy on our screens anymore, because there's been a lot of that online as well. There's a lot of people who don't like Sam and that are saying that he probably uses these wicked ways of deceiving people in his real life, and he's probably a terrible person for playing the game the way he's playing it.
No, I don't feel like that. I'm not at all. Like, I don't make any personal attacks on the man. I think what you said before, is it a credit to Sam or a discredit to the unfaithfuls? And I lean more heavily that the unfaithfuls. I don't think he's playing an extraordinary game. I'm surprised he's been able to get away with the bullshit that he has. Like, my big thing, I told you in the comments last week, because I wasn't on the podcast, anyone from the country in Australia that is meant to be a horse farmer does not carry himself, talk the way that he does, is not that man at all. And then this week, just to shove it in my face, the dude walks out in a pristine white cowboy hat from Texas, pretending he's a farm boy from Sydney, like from Australia. And I'm like, he's showing you people. His Sherpa coat, his denim Sherpa coat, is the cleanest Sherpa coat you've ever seen on a country boy. And he's just showing them in their face. I don't think it's him. I think it's them. Maybe he is, like you said, the off camera, the way he's, the personal interactions, I could absolutely back that he's doing something amazing there. I don't think his game moves and what he's trying to do is particularly enlightening or breaking the mold or doing anything different. He's just not getting caught. And that's the bit that's frustrating for everyone, because they're looking at someone going so blatantly, obviously to us, we've got, you know, insight that they don't. Obviously we have cameras and confessions and him talking to the camera about actually being a traitor. So we're like, hey, how come they can't see it? So maybe there's a lot that I'm missing as well. But from what I've seen, I don't think he's playing extraordinary. I think the rest is playing extraordinarily bad. And because the fact that he's been called out multiple times, he's not under any radar. They even came up with the, like, we're going to talk about the shield, the most recent episode and how they've used it. And they're calling him out. Annabelle, Luke, people are saying it. But for some reason, They just won't look at him. And maybe that is the testament to how good he is, I guess. Like, if he's winning and they're not, so maybe I'm wrong and they're right. But from what he's shown, I'm not buying it.
I wonder, like, for me personally, I am drinking the Kool-Aid that he's selling at the moment. I think he's playing in a phenomenal game. And I think that, yes, there it's a combination of the faithfuls really being behind the eight ball. I mean, most of these faithfuls, I don't believe, come from a place where they have watched a lot of reality TV before, or that they're all that interested in it. And when it comes to the strategy part of the game, I think that that's one of the reasons why someone like Annabelle probably early on got very frustrated by them, because she's actually listened to every single podcast and she's worked out the meta strategies. Like, I mean, they're still using her strategy in the game right now of not telling the traitors who's got the shield. You know, that wasn't something that happened in the first season. Mm-hmm. That's something Annabelle brought in because that's the right move to do, so that people won't vote for the person, or they won't vote for anyone that they think went into the armory. That's a great move, but they're still using that strategy that she brought into the game. She was the exception on the season, and I think someone said, I can't remember who of the two of you said this, but that the game may have been less interesting or less entertaining if Sam was voted out early on. Well, I've got a counter argument. If the traitors was terrible or were terrible in the game, we would have still had people like Annabelle and Luke out there and some of these great big players that were taking shots. The reason that this season has become a bit of a snooze fest when it comes to the faithfuls is because Sam has eliminated all the biggest threats in the game early on. He's taken out the people that came after him, and that's not by accident. You got to give the guy some credit, because every time somebody starts mentioning his name, they're the next one out, and that's why he's filthy by the end of
that
this.
That should be obvious then.
Yeah.
And they called it.
But again, here's why it's impressive. The reason it's impressive is because he's getting this done, and he's making the other traitor in Blake do his bidding. Like, I mean, Blake getting rid this episode, this week, getting rid of Keith, to me was brain-numbing. Like, this guy is his right-hand person. He should have looked at it and said, you've got Liam, I've got Keith. We're not going for each other's ride or dice, because that's what's keeping us safe in the game. That is our numbers. We've got to look elsewhere. But still, Sam somehow convinced him, Tom, that it's his best move to get rid of Keith by using a very subtle form of manipulation to make Blake believe that he was next on the chopping block if he didn't make the move, and Blake folded, which, again, I think we're seeing a lot of evidence here that Sam is playing a very strategic and superior game when it comes to getting his way within this game.
Yeah, I think, and on the topic of people like Keith and also Gloria before, that's the thing that's frustrating me the most. Like, every single week, an episode, the faithfuls are hearing, oh, maybe it's Blake, maybe it's Sam, and then like some other random name out of the other people left is thrown in, like, oh, Keith, oh, Gloria, or maybe next time will be Liam or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, let's go with the person who no one's ever thought of instead of just taking a shot at one of those two. If I was there, I would go, hey, I don't care which one we vote, but can we all either go on Blake or on Sam? And hey, if whoever we pick isn't a traitor, you can vote me out next. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
It is mind-numbing that, you know, because they keep saying this. They've said this for so many episodes now. It even happens in this last episode where they said Luke would not have sacrificed this game for no reason. They keep saying it, but then they keep doing the exact opposite and not at least voting out either a Sam or a Blake to at least test the theory that Luke had, which to me is absolutely brain-numbing to watch this. It's so frustrating to watch, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that is experiencing it. I do want to read a couple of the comments here. Danica is saying, I don't think we should call them the faithfuls anymore. They should be called the dummies. And that is also what Gloria said, that you're still the dum-dums, when she was a dum-dum a few seconds ago. She was a part of that mess, Kuna. Like, how is she suddenly not part of the dum-dums? I don't get it. Make it make sense.
She even, like, when she gave her little speech to start the episode, she said, it's going to be someone that is flying under the radar that has not. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're pointing at yourself. And then immediately, like, goes, well, wouldn't that be you? Like, I'm like, what are you talking about? Say it's the person that is clearly on the radar. It's the person that everyone's been pointing at. Don't say that it's under the radar. Like, to me, when I'm looking at who's left, including up to the last episode with Gloria, I'd be going, okay, so it's, If you're Gloria, if you're Liam or yourself, like looking at you three and then looking across to Sam, Camille and Blake, you're like, oh my gosh, like there's three dummies here that are never ever going to be picked as traders. They would never pull it off. The production would look
Liam
at those
would
three
never
people,
be a trader.
Would never ever be a trader. There's three people that would 100% be a trader. Maybe Camille wasn't at the start, but she is a good candidate from the start to be one, perhaps. I don't know, because we have that insight knowledge that she's a federal agent and all that sort of thing. To them, she's a mom or whatever she's coming across as. But you got to look at yourself and what, like, where's the self-perception? If it's not me, then it's Sam. Like, if it's not this type of personality, it's not a me, a Gloria or a Liam or a Sarah, then it has to be the other type. Like, there's not many people left now, and they're still picking the wrong. I don't get... Like, and now the game's set up where it's impossible, right? Like, what's going to happen? Like, they're outnumbered completely, traders. I was like,
it's horrible. It's horrible for them. It's like Andre said here in the beginning when he dropped the $5, he said, too little, too late for the faithfuls. And I do think it is. I'd be shocked. And I've got my theories, and we'll talk about how I think the game's going to play out in the end. But I do want to read a few more comments before we get into it. Andre Lee saying, Sam's sheriff outfit, definitely given to him by production, which would be... You know, again, future Kahuna believes future farm boys that go out there and play the game. You need to bring your dirty farm shoes, your dirty clothes from working on the farm into
all
the game.
Stuff.
You're not allowed to have clean production given clothes that would look good on a camera. I think that's easily debunked by Sam if he does talk that way. But I think that, you know, being someone that grew up on a farm like half my life because my grandparents and my uncles are all in farming and that type of stuff, I'd probably ask him a couple of questions about farming if I was out there. So hopefully he did his homework and he actually does know, you know, his things. But I mean, the people he's playing with, like Andre saying here, people like, you know, Liam. Let's talk about Liam here for a second, because even early on in the first episode, you know, Liam immediately is on Keith. Like, now we need to target Keith next. He's clearly the person that's fake tears. He's not even crying. Like, how bad is his, like, perception of what is going on? Because I looked at it and I could clearly see on the camera that Keith was teary-eyed. Like, you could see he wasn't crying, but he had that watery eyes. Like, unless Keith is an actor, you could see he looked upset. So I just don't get... I feel like Liam was looking for answers in all the wrong places.
I think Liam, like, this is just him the entire game. He's like, oh yeah, no, I reckon it's Keith. And then, like, Keith gets go to that. Oh yeah, no, I reckon it's Gloria. Oh, Gloria's not it. Oh yeah, I reckon it's oh, who's left? Oh God, no one's left. Oh, I guess it's me. Maybe I'm the traitor. Maybe I didn't feel him tap my shoulder when he was going around at the start, you know? Honestly, hopeless.
Jeez, and man, Liam, go ahead, Kuna.
Tom, you mentioned before, like, acting like eight-year-olds. Like, once Liam gets an idea in his head as well, there's, like, he flicks. He's like, it's 100% them. I know it's them. And, like, where'd that come from? I don't know, but it's definitely them. Like, it's there's no, like, ifs and ahs and maybes. He's, like, switches from one to the next, and he's 100% committed and all in on every single decision he picks out of the air.
Yeah, I always knew it was Keith, you know?
Like, I just don't get where that false sense of confidence comes from. Like, I'm like a psychologist or a psychiatrist that can read Keith's emotions, and I'm that in tune. Like, has he been told his whole life that he's great at reading people? Like, I just don't get where that confidence comes from, because to me, he doesn't come across as someone that does. This is no shots being fired at Liam as a person, because I think he's probably the most genuine bloke. You'd probably want to sit down and have a beer with him. But when it comes to casting for this show, like, they clearly put him there for a reason. And it was because when they did the psychometric tests, when they evaluated this guy and they put him on the show, they knew he was going to be a sheep out there. They knew that he was going to be someone that the traitors would easily manipulate in the game. And that is exactly what's happened up until this point. The only person here in this first episode that are kind of on to Sam is Hannah. And again, you know, shame on Hannah for sleeping for most of the season, because every time they wake up towards the end, that is when they get removed from the game. But she's the only person here, Kuna, that doesn't actually take at face value that Sam, because he had the shield, that he was safe in the game, that they try to murder him in the game, like, or for YouTube's sake, send him off to a better place, because YouTube hated when we use that word. But, you know, she was the only one that realized that maybe this was a ploy and that Sam most likely would be a person that is a traitor in this game.
Especially considering they've set a very strong precedent and track record of not voting for someone, or not getting rid of someone who went to the armory, right? Like, there's a very clear methodology and it makes sense. They're all going, it doesn't make sense. Why would you, like, it absolutely, that you're 100% right. Your instincts are correct there. It does not make sense to try to get rid of someone who went to the armory because there's a chance it won't work, right? They know that. The traders so far have eluded capture. They are smart, obviously. You should be looking at that going, they wouldn't have done that. They recruit, like, 100% they wouldn't have done that. Because, and they're like, oh, but what if they took a shot and missed? Like, based on what? Why would they do that now when they haven't done it at all the entire season, the whole way through, and risk it? They said it's like throwing away a free M word, you know? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
It was very interesting because one of the things that I looked out for as someone that watched the first season is that normally, and also any of the other seasons internationally for the show, whenever they recruit, normally the host comes into the room the next day and they say, last night someone wasn't murdered because someone was recruited. But Roger didn't do that this time. He said something may have happened in the middle of the night for that it did or something like that. He talked in a riddle, but he didn't actually give Sam's plan away, which I found to be interesting that we're seeing the game evolve from season one to season two here, Tom. It's a good thing in my mind that the host is allowing for them to have the toys within the game and to do with it what they want. I would hope that they continue to evolve the show from here on and they give more different mechanics to the game. Because I feel like in Survivor, in the US currently, we're saying, give us less mechanics because less mechanics is good in Survivor in the US because they're doing too much. Where in Traders, I feel like a couple more mechanics where Traders potentially could hang themselves to help give the faithfuls a little bit of an answer to certain things could be good. So it's at least good that they're willing to let the show evolve in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they're doing that, but maybe they should have waited till next season because, like, these faithfuls need all the help they can get. I think they needed old mate Roger to be like, yeah, they recruited someone. So there's three traders now. You're kind of screwed. It's actually these three people in the room. I'm just helping you out as much as I can because you're never going to find it out yourselves.
Yeah, even if he told them, they probably would still not have been able to figure it out. So let's read a couple more of the comments here. Chardude coming in with the $5. Thank you so much, Chardude. Much appreciated. As always, we will be putting it back into the channel saying, funny thing is, they went in with a whole plan to vote out Sam, and then Sam says one thing and changes everyone's mind to vote Gloria. And that's what we spoke about earlier. Absolutely insane. I feel like there is some conversation that we missed, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But also, we've got CD back here in the live. CD, I haven't seen you in quite a while. Welcome back to the live, saying Sam, all caps, is an amazing player to watch. I agree. And CD is loving the season so far. And I think that you can be one of two camps. You either love seeing the traders dominate and the faithfuls fumbling around like buffoons within the game and not being able to figure it out, which is easy to say as someone that's sitting in the sideline. I would never personally want to play traders because if I was a faithful, I probably would look like an idiot. And I wouldn't want to go look like an idiot on national TV. But yeah, I think if you enjoy seeing that, you would enjoy the season. But I think for people like us who think about these things very strategically and we believe that we've got some common sense and then we get to see all these different hints and we know who the traders are on the screen, we feel very frustrated sometimes with the faithfuls not being able to pick it out. And that's not taking anything away from Sam's game because Sam is playing an amazing game. I agree with you on that. Also wanted to say to Danica, you know, while you're going back to your first real job, that's amazing. First time in 20 years after being a mom. That's awesome. All the best of luck with getting back into the workforce. I haven't been out of it as long as you, but I've just started applying for jobs as well after about 6 months of traveling. So, you know, I definitely know what it's like to be out there on the hunt. So I guess I don't know for 20 years. That's a long time. But, you know, well done. Really, really happy for you. I hope you enjoyed and hope that they've got a really, really good culture there as well. Wilson, congrats on the new job. Yes. Tempe Temp says, would you say this is the dumbest season of Traders of all seasons worldwide? It's hard to argue with that, Tempe Temp. It's very hard. And I know that Kuna and Tom haven't seen all of the Traders seasons, but I haven't seen Traders New Zealand, which I understand that's a very good season with faithfuls that are very smart. I think they picked a lot of the traders throughout the season. So this would have to be the dumbest season of all time. And I don't know if it's because Sam is the best player of all time or not. That's the problem we have, even in shows like Survivor. Mm. Like whenever someone dominates the show, is it because everybody else was that bad or was the winner just that great? What would you say, Kuna?
Sam's like, regardless of my opinions on what he's obviously what he's doing is working, and he's spinning magic because it is a completely dominant season. The only trader to go out was from him, right? And then no one's even come close. They've tiptoed around the edges and flirted with the idea of Sam being a trader since the beginning almost, and it hasn't come.
And
to
I will
fruition,
say. So. I will say it's also not like it's been like Sam is making it look easy, which is impressive, but it hasn't been easy because Blake has been the person next to him, tethered to him in this game, that he's been pulling, kicking and streaming up the mountain as he's on his way to get to the top of the mountain to win. He's carrying Blake's dead weight up that mountain right now, Tom. It's not easy because Blake has not trusted him for a long time, but yet he is still somehow able to manage to get Blake on the same page as him as they're moving through this game.
I just don't get... I really reckon Sam should have taken out Blake at that last one because, you know, he wants... You know, I mean, the money's not looking that... I mean, I'll take any amount of free money, let's be real. But, like, the money at the moment's not looking super amazing in terms of cash prizes. So, like, splitting that three ways, no, I'd take Blake out. And then, to be honest, I think Camille has, like, the best chance of making it to the end, considering like I've never heard anyone say her name, and you know I definitely wouldn't pick up that she's a trader at all from if I was on the season, but I probably would have gone for Sam and or Blake by now. So you know I reckon she has the best chance of making it to the end as a trader.
With I agree Camille, with you. So Chris, like we've said, the game is geared towards the traders. They have an advantage in this game. With Camille, she said, I knew it was you to both of them. When you looked at each other, she claimed that she saw it. She knew it was them. Would you then switch to become a trader with them? Or knowing both of them being traders in your heart, would you say, no, I'm going to stay faithful and get them out? Because I've got that information.
Personally, I think that if a traitor offers you the option to become a trader, and I'm pretty sure it's happened before in a season, you do it. I'm pretty sure it happened in one of the seasons where someone said no, and then they were taken out of the game the very next episode. Because like, oh, you're not going to join us. You're onto us. You're out. So I feel like being a trader, you've just got such an advantage in the game. And also I feel like in Camille's situation, like Tom said, she's been such a big trader hunter. She's someone that a lot of people firmly believe is a faithful. She's not in the firing line at all, but we saw how well that worked out for Gloria. So I might eat these words. But I don't feel like Camille's going to put her own, you know, foot in her mouth. Like when she's talking, I feel like she can bob and weave better and she'll be able to navigate to the end. I do think she's in the inside lane to win this season, but there's also been other seasons where people have come in from the side and they were recruited later on and then they're immediately made targets so that they can continue to prove that they're faithful. You know, so
I thought that was going to happen. That's what I would have done. I would have tried that if I was Sam, like knowing how risky and ballsy he is. I thought that was definitely what he was going to do.
I think that he's struggling with Blake a little bit. And I think that that's something he's got to navigate throughout the game. But I'm very interested to see how the end game is going to work out now with those three traders and the two faithfuls going into the end game. Like, you've just got to have this feeling that at least one or two of them are going to get taken out. I find it hard to believe Sam's not going to win. And if Sam does not win, he's definitely going to be the fallen angel of this season. Like, he's pretty much carried this season on his back at this stage. And I'd be devastated for him if he did lose it. But maybe that's, you know, potentially put it up there for a future All-Star season. And this would be something that would be interesting, Tom. Do you think that the Traders game is a game that could be played in an All-Star season if it gets a third, a fourth, and a fifth season? We get to another season. Do you think that this game can be replayed by the same people that have played it before?
Before I answer that, you say like it'd be such a crime if Sam didn't win. I don't know if he wants to win that much. Remember, he was giving up those silver bars. Like he didn't even drink the drink. He just poured it out just so no one would have the silver. I thought that was so funny. But no, I think it would be a really cool game for an All-Stars season, but like, man, how? Imagine if you were a trader in your season and you have to go on. Like, I feel like it'd be impossible not to get targeted. But then again, like, I think you'd be pretty stupid if you're a faithful and you went, oh, this person's was a trader in their first season, so they must be a trader this time. But you know, that's the logic of this season, at least.
Well, if Liam's out there,
I want you to think. You do the reverse thing, like, you know.
And Guiding Grantly's an actor, so he must be a traitor. Oh my gosh.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the challenges for this specific two episodes. The first one was one where they had both Hannah and Sarah locked up inside of a room. And they had silver bars with them. They had 30 minutes to run around. Hannah was the communicator. She had to look at the map. They had to find these barrels, hit the barrels, then get some silver bars from it. What did you guys think, Kahuna? What did you like this challenge? All right, we'll go over to Tom. Tom, did you like this challenge? While Kahuna is having a coughing fit on that side there.
I thought that challenge was a bit hit or miss. Like, a lot of the challenges for me are like, some of them I'm really like into, like the torture one. I thought like that was fun, like seeing like them have to answer questions and then like Luke suggesting, "Oi, let's just get them all wrong so they get tortured." That was pretty funny. But I found this challenge a bit of a snoozer. But I liked the challenge in the next episode with the op shop,
I feel like, to be fair, like, and again, I don't know the budget restrictions on the show and what they're doing. The challenges for me in the first season felt like the weakest part of the show, and it still feels to me, even this season, like being a little bit critical, it still feels like the weakest part of the show for me, Kahuna, where I find myself like sometimes dozing off a little bit in the challenges because it feels like there's less at stake. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record. There's got to be something we can do. And maybe it's because, Kahuna, you and I cover a show called The Challenge, and it's very hard for shows to compete when you're watching them alongside each other. It's very difficult for a show such as Traitors to compete with a show that is made around challenges.
Yeah, and like, there doesn't seem, you're right, there's no stakes to it, because even people like we saw last week, they're just willing to give up the silver anyway. They're not that like desperate to build up the thing, the prize pool, for some reason. I don't know why. Like, if they expect to win and they're down to the final six, you'd think they want to, you know, pump it up as much as they could, but none of them seem too fussed about it. And I think maybe it's just that thing where, like Tom said, the prize pool isn't that big, where in your head you're going, $1 million or $500,000 is such a life change. Like, any money like this would be life changing, absolutely. But because they're chipping away at it by adding 2,000 each silver bar, it just has a much smaller feeling, if you know what I mean. It doesn't have the same grandeur. And then the challenges themselves aren't these big, spectacular, like, you know, television products. They're just kind of communication based things, teamwork based things. And a lot of them feel like things you would do on a corporate getaway, like, you know, a team building exercise for
work. Quick question for you, because I feel like there's something lacking, and I don't know if it's because I am looking at this from a survivor aspect, right? And it's hard not to compare, because let's be honest, we all got into reality TV because of Survivor. It is one of the biggest phenomenons out there when it comes to reality TV. So you're always going to be compared to a show such as Survivor when it comes to these types of shows. What about if they, in the challenge, were to hide a hidden shield, like kind of like a hidden immunity idol, where people that are doing the challenge in the middle of it, they get the option where they could be tempted, only one, to go for the hidden shield, but it would cost the team some money, or there would be a consequence to it, but you at least get safety. And maybe it's the opposite to the shield that just keeps you safe in a situation where the traitors could take you out of the game, eliminate you out of the game, but it could also be banishment. You've got safety at banishment, which seems to be something where you could pull this out and say, sorry, you guys wanted to banish me, but not tonight. I got this, you know, type of thing. I feel like something's missing, Tom. Like, just, I'm looking for that extra game mechanic.
Yeah, see, what I was thinking, I think that's a really good idea, but I was thinking halfway through the season, roughly, because it does fly by pretty quickly on this show compared to, like, Australian Survivor, that is just so many episodes and weeks and whatnot. But if they had, like, individual challenges about halfway through, and it's about, like, 10 people or less, and you could win a shield that's specifically for banishment instead of murder, and that adds a new element to the game where the traitors have to think, should we target this person because they are really good at challenges and they're not safe tonight. So maybe it's a good chance to eliminate them in the M word capacity.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I like that. There's got to be something. I feel like there's something that they need to do. While we're talking about this, Gunnar, could you do us a favor? You're the stats person for us. Have a look at what the ratings have been like, because I haven't checked in on the ratings for quite a while to see if people are still sticking with the show or not. And then I'm going to read a couple more comments in the meantime. I've got Chadud here saying, what about all-stars of the best traders? What would be really interesting is getting a season full of people who previously have been traders. So if it gets to that point and it's long enough in the game and you've suddenly got like 20 previous traders all playing the game, and you know only three of them are going to be traders again, that could be an interesting concept, because you know all of them have been lying about it before or have been in that position. Andrew Lee is also asking, Chris Kuna and Tom, would you be a chained prisoner or problem solver? In my personal life, I'd be a chained prisoner. No, I'm just joking.
I was going to say chained prisoner. Chained prisoner, I'm too lazy to solve. You know.
Yeah, but for sure. I think it's easier to sit back.
What about a season that's just Sarah and Liam trying to solve a mystery and we just see how long it takes them? You know, that'd be interesting. I would love
to play longest series ever, 40 years on air and still not solved.
100%. I would love to play Survivor with Sarah. I would take her all the way to the end. She'd be the easiest beat in history.
Easier than Liam? You reckon it'd be easier than Liam?
I mean,
Liam would be your boy. You guys would have a bromance. He'd be the Robin to your Batman when you're out there.
Well, he could maybe beat me in the individual challenges. I'd like to think I could beat Sarah in an individual challenge. Fingers crossed, you know? an endurance challenge.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daddy K is saying, I think the challenges are supposed to be able to be done by everyone, ages, abilities, so they can't do it like the challenge. No jumping from giant trucks. I get that, Danica. I wasn't trying to kill Sarah out there by jumping from one truck to another truck, okay? I was just thinking, let's spice it up a little bit. You know, there's something. It's just something for me that's still missing. But any case, the second one was a little bit more fun, a little bit better. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Andrew Lee also here saying, absolutely love axe throwing, and that was the two-handed axe throwing technique. Yeah, it was interesting to see them do the axe throwing here. And when did the axe throwing happen? It was on the it was in the first part here in the target practice, because this is the one where Keith actually came out and said that he had experience in it and ended up pulling out the win against Sam. And it was actually quite funny, Tom, to see Sam be really petty throughout this whole thing. Like, I'm going to take him out. And then, you know, I'm kind of pissed off that he did this, but I'm going to vote him out before he even gets to be able to be saved by the shield.
That would 100% be me if I was playing this or like Survivor or whatever. Like, if someone like beat me at an axe throwing competition, I'd be like, okay, you need to leave. You need to get out of here like ASAP. I want to be the best axe thrower here, even though that achievement holds no merit in any world except, I guess, axe throwing competitions. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, obviously, no surprises. Sam's good at that as well.
He's a cowboy.
Cowboy. So he's living up to it, at least from that part of it, because he's been doing well in all the individual challenges, and he's also taking out all of his competition. Kuna, I'm coming over to you. I think I've stalled long enough. Have you been able to see anything in regards to ratings? Have they kept us up to date with that?
Yeah, so apparently it's gone up this week in the two most recent episodes being Monday being the penultimate one. They said that it was up a total of 38% for the total audience, for 494,000 viewers across both episodes, though. So broken down, it's like, I think the most recent one, episode 8, got 275,000. So it's not like a big audience by any means, but certainly not as paltry as it was last year when they were really worrying whether there'd be a season 2 or not. So it's certainly maintaining its audience, and it's actually growing in this week as well. So
that's good. That's good. I'm glad that it's growing. Because I did wonder about it when I was watching this episode. And, you know, if someone was to flick the channel over and the random scene of the traitors walking with the capes and the face masks going up to Trader Tower, if that was the scene I saw flicking in between channels, I probably would keep flicking, because it would be very cult-like, Kuna, and be like, well, what is this? What am I watching? So I feel like, you know, if you get in on the wrong time when it comes to the show, you might not stay on the channel, because I feel like
there's a very specific audience that maybe watches something like Eyes Wide Shut and has a particular taste that might be very, very interested for a second and then go, oh, they kept the clothes on the entire time. I'm out now. So the mask and the robes could turn take a very different turn depending on how you want to go with it. But yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We have Childhood here in the live saying, did you see the Insta post about the cast getting hate from the traitors? And I don't think it's a traitors only issue. Like I remember a couple of seasons ago, Kahuna and Tom, when we did Blood versus Water for Survivor, there was so much hate towards players online. And specifically for people that were playing game moves. Like I've heard Sam's getting a lot of that. Mucky's been telling me all about it because Mucky actually stays up to date with a lot of the social stuff where I kind of post and ghost and don't get too involved in a lot of the online stuff. And he just said Sam's copying it a lot and there's other players that are copying some hate out there. It seems to be an Australian fan specific casual audience thing. I don't know why that is, that it seems like some of the Australian fans really take these games personally sometimes. I don't know, Kuno, if you want to talk to that.
I have no idea why. It weirds me out too. Some of the stuff that I see on Facebook and like it's like they did it to them. It's like they're faithful and Sam literally stabbed them in the back or something, the way people react. I mean, it's not just Australia. Like we see it on the challenge and stuff, like the way people have their teams and their favorites. And if you're not my favorite, then I hate you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's that fandom thing. Like, you know, like every, reality TV, like if we're talking about how toxic it can be, it's nowhere near the fandoms of like a Star Wars or something like that as well. You know what I mean? Like that's just when people like things and get obsessed with things, it can unfortunately bring out the worst part of it. Like even like sports, like tell me some English Premier League fans are not pretty bad to some opposing teams and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like it's just part and parcel of when you are a fan of something, you follow something, then you don't like the other. I don't get the correlation though, because it's not a sport and I see it as an overall thing rather than picking one individual person. But I've also lived with that. Like my wife is very much like that, where she'll be like, I like this person. And now that they voted out, I don't want to watch anymore. And I hate that person. I never want them to win. And like, don't you get it? They're the villain of the show. Like it's meant to be. You are supposed to hate them. You should be hating them. That means they're doing a good job at what they're doing. But people, I don't know. They can't differentiate like fiction from reality. I don't know what it is.
I think I know what it is. And I don't know, you guys can tell me if I've got like a fake sense of confidence here like Liam has when it comes to picking out these traders. You know, maybe I'm completely off the mark as well. But I always look at it this way. When somebody on social media goes off, be it at you as a person, be it at the shows, and they come from a place of hatred, it is because people project what they feel inside. Like if they're in a very vulnerable state in their lives, if they've got stuff going on in their lives that are not great, they have to have an outlet. And sadly, sometimes these players that are on our screens, they feel like they can shoot from the hip and throw some of this stuff at them because they themselves, they're going through a dark place. I always look at it like the people that do this, they're broken themselves as well. And there is a story behind why they're doing this. I don't think in life, anybody that is successful or that are achieving stuff has the time to go back and throw hate at reality TV stars. Like I feel like if you're that kind of person, you don't have a lot going on in your life, sadly. And it saddens me when people do that, to be honest with you, because I just don't get it. But I also feel like if you're not mentally very strong, Tom, I know you're someone that wants to go out there and do reality TV one day. You know, you're someone that would love to be on Survivor, similar to myself as well. Like if you don't mentally go in there prepared that you could get a lot of hate coming your way, then, you know, I feel like you're in for a rude awakening.
I think I'd love to get all the messages, you know. I'd be like, oh,
you'd be likable. You'd be likable. I wouldn't be likable. You'd be the likable guy, Tom.
Well, no, I think if I got a death threat, I'd just like respond like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. Like just to say something like really like random that they just wouldn't expect and like really just annoy them more. But I find it funny that like Australians are like doing that kind of stuff. I feel Australian, like from what I've perceived living in Australia my whole life, we don't really care too much about celebrities. And I mean, not that like reality stars are like much celebrities, but Like people,
these are keyboard. I just want to say these are keyboard warriors because I've lived in Australia on and off for a long time as well. I walk this, like now as well, like moving in, and even in Melbourne, like I've been amazed in my first couple of weeks of how friendly people are here, and they just want to help you and stuff. Like that's not my perception of people out there. These are keyboard warriors. These are, and I think Kahuna quite rightfully sort of pointed out that it's not just an Australian thing. It is, I think, it is a fan thing, maybe a casual fan. We sometimes say, or it's just people, like I said, that. There's some stuff going on in their life and they're projecting. That's what I think. Yeah.
There's also like, you see in game itself, right? It's things like Survivor, we've seen when people backstab an alliance partner or something and the vote goes against them. They either hold that very personally and actually keep it as a grudge, or they can look at it and go, good play. Like, I know it's a game. I would have done the same thing. And that's just the two different personality types. And you take that outside of the game to watching it, it's the same way. Like, you can watch it and go, I can see that that was a good play. I'm not going to make thing. But other people go, that was wrong. That was bad. Evil people. They do these things. Where's the honor? Like, it's that attitude that translates. And it's a weird thing. Like, they expect everyone within a game that is a television show that is meant to be for entertainment purposes, that is manipulated in a certain way and presented in a very specific way, they expect them to hold up to their own personal standards and project that upon the screen. And when they don't live up to that, it can get very, you know, for people who can't handle it, who aren't mentally strong, like you said, Chris, they get all like befuddled and mix up personal emotions with random people on TV, which is never healthy.
Yeah. Childhood here says, I remember watching the US Survivor Reunion show, and when the villain of the season spoke, everyone booed them. I think that was Survivor All-Stars when Jerry Manthe spoke at Survivor All-Stars Reunion. Everybody booed her because back then she was the Black Widow. She got rid of fan favorite Colby Donaldson early on in that season, who was beloved, you know. So I think a lot of people probably saw some hatred go her way as well. So it's definitely not an Australian only thing. You're right to call that out, Kuna. And also, you know, looking at it, I think it's just one of those things that you're going to get it every season. But the fans that really love these reality TV games, they get it. Like, we get it. We know Sam's playing a game. Liam, I feel like, is going to be really butthurt by the end of the season because he's been dragged along so much, and we're starting to see things unraveling in the second episode, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk a little bit about the second challenge that we saw on this week's show. We had a bull in a china shop where they had this shop. They had to be tethered together, one blindfolded, the other person navigating them through it, and with a whole bunch of things. I actually saw Tom sort of mimic a version of that while we had the loading screen in the background. He was like moving things around in the background while we were waiting to get his chair out and everything. So I was like, Tom, are you practicing for Traders? Are you practicing for Traders season 3?
Did you see my pajama pants?
Yeah, don't worry. We weren't live. I could see people in the background when we go live. So don't worry. Like, no one else saw your pajamas. They didn't see your pink undies. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That's what I'm wearing at the moment. No. Well, this is another thing about that challenge. When Roger was saying the bull in a china shop clue and everything, and they're all like, I wonder what that could mean. And Liam's like, oh, this is the word. Oh, I never get one of any of Roger's riddles. I'm like, it's a very common expression. How do you not know what that means?
Andre Lee here is saying it would be absolutely entertaining to see Mucky and Hamish participate in this challenge. And I can tell you one thing. Because Mucky, people who've never met Mucky in real life, he's the one of the co-hosts. I think most people that have watched Traders content on the channel, they know who he is. But Mucky is like really, really tall and clumsy. So Mucky doesn't even need to be blindfolded or tethered to anyone. He would still knock everything over when he's in there trying to move around. So it would be hilarious to see him. Hamish,
I get. Hamish. I get anxiety when I see those type of challenges. And like, that's like a fat person's nightmare, squeezing through tight places and breaking things that you might have to pay for. Like, that's actual shops with wide aisles for me.
You were working up a cold sweat just looking at it, just watching from the sidelines. Gloria and who was it? Sarah? They were both as well. Like, this was not the challenge for them to be doing. So when they were teamed together, Gloria kind of called that out, but it was a fun challenge. It was good to see them get some bars there. I feel like Roger was pretty kind to them because he let them keep 8 bars. They only lost 2 bars. Kahuna, do you feel like he gave them a little bit of a petty bars here to get that winnings up, because like Tom said, the winnings are looking pretty low at this stage.
Yeah, there's a few, like, I think the wording of the challenge itself says that only one person can touch things. And then when I saw Sam put the hat on Blake, and it was good comedy, and I was like, oh, he's just thrown the challenge. I thought he was like, you know, because he was reaching out and grabbing things. I was like, wait a second, is he allowed to do that? Like, you know, even though it wasn't the item they were looking for, the fact that he was, I was like, this could have been a really good challenge, Chris, for what you were saying, adding additional mechanics to the game. Maybe the shield is hidden in the op shop, in one of the boxes or something antique, or there's different clues that you can put in and hide things in a perfect situation like this. You know what I mean? Like, there's opportunities that they can put in place, and they're just not really expanding the game and giving opportunities for the faithful to find ways, the evidence that I don't see at all, you know?
Yeah, and you just made me think of something. It's like, should there be, you know, like, have any of you guys watched Masked Singer before?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So oh man, Tom, yeah, you got to get onto this, man. You're missing
really?
Out.
How have we not covered it already?
How will we not cover it? Like, Tom, like, you're a musician. Like, you're into music. Like, you should watch The Masked Singer. So The Masked Singer, to give you like a very brief explanation of what it is they, you know what it kind of is, but they have these masks. Looks pretty silly, you know, when they go out there and sing. But then people have to try and analyze who the singer is. So the judges have to guess who they think the singer behind the mask is. But the only way that the singer gets revealed is every week you vote for the most popular singer, the one that you think is doing the best. The person who gets the least votes, they get unmasked all the way to the end. And it could be that the person is an actual singer. They could be an actor. They could be a sports, like, football player. It is phenomenal. But one of the things that they do with the Masked Singer, Tom, is that they have every week as the show progresses, they give clues to the person's personal life. Like, the person has two kids. The person has grown up in blah, 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 you know, used to play sport or whatever. So is that maybe something where at certain challenges, Kuna, they could, like, I feel like we're like thinking so far ahead of where the game currently is and the game's so far behind. But there could be places where you could buy clues to who the traders could be. So if you get to know people in the game, be like, oh, Keith said he's from New South Wales, as an example. Maybe Keith's the trader. You know, like, I feel like there should be these additional things, like snippets added into the game. I don't know. Maybe I'm on like my own thing and I'm just like having creative moments here tonight where everybody's like, no, this would be terrible on TV. But it seems to work really well for The Masked Singer.
It would add such a great dynamic to it as well. Like, if the faithful knew to be on the lookout for things, then they'll also get red herrings along the way too. And that might add some of the conversation like fuel as well. They're like, you know how we're supposed to look for clues, and we were right with the trade on the first one because the clue said that they, you know, whatever it is, it led us to that. I saw this and I think it means this person. What? And then it adds fuel, adds, because right now, whenever they discuss, they just go, I think it's them. Why? Because
what if it was
me?
A clue? Like what if it's like a clue that gets revealed, but it's not actually, I don't know, we're like brainstorming here. You know, the trader should pay us for this. Production, get in touch. But what if it's like a clue being dropped where it's like the traitor was the last person to get away from the mine challenge? Like, they were the last person to walk away from the challenge.
And you have
they
to
were
use
the
your
last
memory.
Person to
check. Right.
And you got to use your memory. You're like, oh, who was the last person? Who, you know, there's something that we could add to, like, kind of like Cluedo, where there's like clues along the way, you know?
Along the way. I like the idea of as well. Have you seen The Usual Suspects?
No, I haven't.
Oh, mate, it's a great movie. And it's a huge spoiler alert if I tell you what's going to happen, because it's one of the biggest twist endings in cinema.
I want to know the spoiler, but yeah.
You can do this thing where, like, say, for example, in the op shop today, right? There's paintings on the wall and stuff. And then at the end of the season, the viewer, along with the thing, go, I don't know if you saw this, but we had this painting here. We put this symbol on this challenge. We had this thing along the way. Right. And you missed all these clues, but now when you see it all together, it paints for a prettier picture. But once you put that in the game, then you have the viewer, then you have the faithful, then you have everyone looking out for these things and adding another element to it. Like when Survivor tried to do the like
game American within the game. Survivor,
the game within the game thing, right? And it didn't really work because of the way they did it, but it added an element for the viewer to go, oh, I want to look for the game within the game. right? Mm-hmm. And if there's that element to it, certain hints here, why is there three rocks piled up over there as opposed to, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, they obviously did it with the creepy church challenge, right? Yes. Where they have a clue and you have to look for the dog that matches the thing. It could be something not as obvious as that, but like, there are little hints throughout the thing and you might not pick it up in real time, but at the end of the season, they do a montage and it makes for great TV to go, oh shit, it was right there the entire time telling them who the traitor was and they were completely ignorant of it. You know what I mean? Like,
That's one of the things that I like about The Mole. I know we're always going to compare traitors and The Mole to each other, but the viewer don't know who The Mole is either. And throughout it, there is like places where they go back and there's like a they go and show us what The Mole did behind the scenes and how they sabotaged certain challenges. And you're like, oh, wow, that's what happened there, which is really cool to see. Hello to Shauna Finley in the live chat. Welcome to the live. It's great to have you here. Yeah, so what did we think about the recruitment of I'm going to blank now. who was recruited this
Camille.
Week? Camille. Yeah, what do we think about the recruitment? How did you think Tom Camille did this week for you coming in? She sort of came in, didn't come in hot, kind of like reminded me, you know, when you're in a new job and you walk into a managerial position, you don't just go in there day one and fix everything and change everything. She was kind of sitting back. You know, she was getting her 90-day plan together for how the next 90 days in the job was going to be, how she can implement positive change or completely bring the building down. And then she went to work.
Yeah, I think she was like a great pick for the traders to recruit. In terms of like, she was the best player left on the board who wasn't a trader. My one concern with picking her from Sam and Blake's perspective is she is smart enough to outwit them and backstab them. Like if they chose someone like a Gloria maybe who or a Keith, who to me are like very non-strategic players, I feel like they could have put them in just to literally be another number and they could have easily outsmarted them and thrown them in front of the bus, like Kahuna mentioned before, saying that he thought that they should go for Camille. Throw her in front of the bus like when she first became trader. So I think she was a good pick, but I reckon they might also regret it at the same time because she will probably backstab them. She's smart enough, unlike some of the other people left in the game.
I'm enjoying what she's doing at this stage. I do think that there is some real runway for her going into the end game. I wanted to talk about this, you know, because I called it when I watched the show when Keith got voted out. And I was like, he's going to do this big reveal. I was under, you know, you guys got it like half right, but I was the best police officer. It probably production eggs him on a little bit as well. But I kind of felt like he was interviewing for a job at the end there, Kahuna, telling us about a CV.
He's going to be on Hunted.
Well, listen, he'd be the right guy for Hunted, right? In fact, he should be the person trying to get away because that's literally what he did when he went undercover and lived as, you know, I don't know if we can even talk about the stuff that he did because YouTube will probably like slam us for that as well. But doing the work that he did undercover, I feel like that's a pretty good resume to go out there and prove if he can still do it. I don't even know if he needs to hunt people. Let's get him going on the show, going undercover.
I can't believe it. Like, this is the thing as well, right? When he comes out and goes, you know, just throws it all on the table and everyone's shocked and stuff, I would have been like, how come you haven't picked a traitor yet? Like, where's those skills that you've honed over 20 years and books that you've written?
His best mate was a trainer.
Yeah. Like, where was that, man? Come on. You didn't, like, interact with people and see people lying and know who was, you know, a real-life traitor versus, you know, a murderer versus not? Like, come on. Like, that's supposed to be his calling card, and I didn't see any of it throughout the entire season, right? Well, like, there was no... There's no skills shown.
Is that just maybe a sign of how difficult this game is to play? Because like I said, you know, we've had people like Cody Califuri who won Big Brother and he won an all-star season. He's got into the end twice in Big Brother. He's a very capable player. I know some of the fandom doesn't like him because he voted out their favorite players in an all-star season. I get it, but he's a great player, right? He went out on Traders and played Traders and he said that the game was so much harder than what Big Brother was. Yeah. It is a very difficult game. And I feel like there's things that we're missing as an audience sometimes where we could easily say, this guy with all this experience, he kept getting it wrong. But maybe it is just because of the fact that when you're a cop and you're out there, there are clues that lead you to finding a suspect. Where we've been complaining the whole time, there is very limited clues. Like, you got to go off like body language and weird stuff. Like, you know, it's nothing concrete.
Probing that stuff either, or trying, like, I'm a big fan that on this is like gonna show people some weird parts of my head, but on YouTube, one of the things that I rabbit holes that I often go down is there's a very big phenomenon right now of real life criminal confessions and stuff like that, how the police have them in a room one-on-one and use various techniques to take a confession out of someone who's a murderer or a criminal, like, especially, right? And how they put themselves on their side and then they disarm them with charm, and then, so, you know, they, depending whatever technique it is, and the YouTube video will usually try to break down what techniques they're using. And I'm like, you know this stuff. You should be like, where are the probing talks? Why aren't you asking Sam about the farm a little bit more? Like, you know, where are the conversations where you're trying to extract any sort of information to go off of? And maybe they're not showing it, but we have not seen it. Like, the conversations are always incredibly shallow, and they seem to be more of a survivor style get numbers for whatever action you're taking, as opposed to actually trying to figure out and put people on, you know, in a difficult position, put a bit of heat on someone, see if they crack. Yeah. And maybe they don't, like, maybe they do, I don't know, but you're not really seeing that probing type of, you know, inquiries on the game.
Well, the thing for me as well that breaks my head, right, is that it's a very difficult game to play, because as soon as you start putting your strategy out there, as soon as you start talking about who you're going to vote for next, you could be saying to the trader what your plans are, you know, in the game. Yeah. And you don't know who you could talk to. So it's a game of, you know, when should you put everything out there? And if you don't, then it might be too late. Like, I look at it this way. The biggest dead giveaway that Sam probably is a traitor is the fact that he voted out Ash very early on. He was the leader of that vote. He orchestrated that. And yet the traitors didn't look at him afterwards and said, everybody now is going to believe he's a faithful. We need to get rid of him next. Because that's normally what traitors do. They get rid of the people that everybody thinks is a faithful.
Yeah.
So therefore, if everybody thought that he was a faithful, in my mind, I would have been thinking, well, why have the traitors not taken him out yet? Because we're not questioning him. If he's still here, there's a reason for that. You know, because people who questioned the traitors, like Annabelle, like Luke, like Hannah, like Gloria, like everybody, you can name them. Even what was the WE girl or the wrestling girl, Jasmine Simone. Or Justine?
Simone,
that's the one. Even when she came out and questioned, like every single time somebody woke up and they started smelling the roses, they were taken out of the game. And I think that's what makes this game so difficult. Let's have a look at a couple of things here that people are saying. Andrew Lee is saying, Keith should have spoken up earlier about this. Keith should have spoken up earlier or for the others about his suspicions being kept in the game for banishment. Andrew Lee says, and finally they showed Hannah blowing up. Yeah, like a mini blow up. Hannah's very disappointing to me this whole season. Even at the end, she started waking up, but, you know, she was so gung-ho on the fact that Sam is the person. And then she ends up voting Liam. She throws a vote on Liam instead of sticking with Sam, who she said definitely is a traitor in the game. So it's kind of like half-assing it. I would much rather go out of the game swinging like a Luke or an Annabelle than what Hannah did in the game, Tom.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I just kind of forgot Hannah existed the whole time. Like, she was just there and just like, you know.
She was getting massages.
They showed her a lot, but, you know, I feel like, I don't know. There are too many dummies in this season. Not enough faithfuls. It was like three traitors, three faithfuls, and 14 dummies playing. In my eyes, you know.
Yeah.
So
watching the last couple episodes, I was like, if you know how you put yourself in the shoes. If I was on this show, I feel like a long time anxiety of mine is that my visual is that I come off looking dumber than I am, right? I don't know if that's based in fact or whatever, but it happens to be for the fact that 1 year I was in year nine, I was 14 years old, and I topped my grade for our English exams, the big English exam of the year.
Watch out, overachiever in the house.
Yeah. One of my friends comes up to me and goes, hey man, I heard you got the best score in the thing. I go, yeah. He goes, are you smart? I go, what? Is I didn't know you were smart, man. I thought you were dumb. I was like, why? Like, what is that? And ever since then, 14 years old, it's just stuck in my head. Do people think I look dumb? Like, is that a thing? But I feel like on this show, if you speak to anyone in any way that is intelligent at all, you'd be scared that, like, you'd have to come off as dumb. I want to be a Liam. I want to be a Sarah. I want to be to not be a threat to the traders, because if you are talking to people, like you said, Chris, you're potentially talking to a trader. So how do you get your ideas across without seeming like a complete threat? You have to trust that person implicitly. Like we've seen, like you said, all the smart people tend to get picked off. And if you're giving off clues, even to the faithful, not even for the traders, to the faithful, they always go, that person's just so smart. You'd make a great trader. And then they banish them. And I'm like, well, shit. Like, if I'm going to go on that show and I open my mouth, I just have to go and be quiet and look dumb. But be smart quietly.
Or even just putting a target out there, and then that target isn't actually a trader, and they go home and they're like, well, Kahuna was the one who said we should have voted for Tom, so he must be a trader. And then they vote you out for just having an opinion. So there are so many pitfalls. Like, I quite openly can say I am not interested in playing traders. I'll watch it. I'll laugh at the faithfuls because it's easy to do while I'm sitting on the sidelines. But this is not my show. This is not my show, because I feel like there is too many elements in the game that makes it too hard if you're a faithful to get to the end. And you can't bank, you don't have control over being a trader. I want to play a game like Survivor where I can take control of my own faith or fate in the game within the parameters of the game, not a game like Traders where there's too much uncontrollables in it for me personally. Let's read a couple of comments here again. Danica saying, why does the show not show everyone when they get the letter saying that they've been sent home? Do you think some have been really pissed off? It seems like that would be good TV. They actually don't do it for any of the shows, really. The first season, I feel like they may have had some people as they're driving away in the car, they would say a few words or something. But I do think that is another thing that's missing for me. And maybe it's just the runtime. Yeah. Because Traders is a show where there are so many conversations happening. And it's all about he said this, she said that. And everybody needs to be in on the conversations to understand the flow of what's going on. I feel like they cut a lot of these things out. That doesn't make sense. But I mean, having Luke Toki, for instance, go out without having final words to me was a travesty. You know, like, I do feel like we miss out on that.
Last season in Australia, I think in America, the first season, they did the drive away short interview thing, right? But in Australia, the reason why they didn't have that is because they did the separate online video for the website, which was the exit interview type thing. And they didn't even do that this season. So I was like, I get it. They don't put it in the edit because they do the after extra content for people. And they don't even have that this season. So it's disappointing for sure. Someone, like you said, Luke going out with nothing and then having to go on his social media to talk about it is disappointing.
Yeah, so Andrew Lee said, too many frustrating elements, so I would end up like Luke or Annabelle. Chad is saying, being a trader is only an advantage if you know how to play the game. Yeah, I agree. And also, if you don't have a Sam playing the game with you, because I feel like Sam has made someone like Blake's life very difficult playing Traders. I feel like if he played in another season with people that were a little bit more level-headed, maybe, you know, he would do well. But listen, it's working for Sam. He is at the moment the mad scientist of the show. I wanted to talk a little bit about how the vote came together here on the second one as well, because I feel like we've spoken about many of the things that have happened, and you guys can call me out if there is anything that I don't know. But after the vote where they get rid of Ian, which was a horrible move by Blake to get rid of his right-hand person because he lost a person that would have loyally voted with him in the game. After that, they get rid of Hannah. Again, both of those votes, firmly Sam's votes, because Sam knew he was taking a number away from Blake. He knew Hannah was coming after him in the game. So he wins again with both of those conversations, gets his way. They move into this next episode where it now seems like Sam and Blake are going to go after each other. A lot of people want to target Blake at this stage in the game. And a lot of people want to target Sam as well. And Gloria starts to put some of the pieces together. She has a conversation with herself. The ladies are all together sort of having a conversation with Camille, Gloria, and Sarah. And they're all pretty much set on voting Sam. And Blake was set on that. It only needed four people to vote on it. Kahuna, did Camille and Blake mess this up at the end of the day by not going through with it? Because they could have forced the 3-3 vote here, because Gloria was going to go no matter what. She was going to go on Sam. She did. Camille and Blake could have gone that way. Sarah changed her mind last minute, which ended up them changing their votes as well. Was the right move to get rid of the biggest threat in the game here? Because I kind of feel like you want, if you've got an opportunity to take a shot at the king, you better not miss.
100%. Blake already missed, so maybe he's a bit gun-shy. He's taken his shot before, and Sam said, hey, no more.
You sat him down.
One. Yeah, he goes, you get one, mate. Like, that's it. But Camille had it, and with the numbers so small, when you have two out of the three traders, it's already like 40% of the remaining as well. Like with Gloria, like even if they missed it and they got their they called their shot and Sam found out, you'd hope that by this point you could have the numbers that it wouldn't matter. Sam can only rally Liam, after that point. Like if it didn't work, like really, like. If Blake and Camille just committed and stood strong, they could grab Gloria, who they should really be able to get Sarah as well, because I don't know how she flipped out. Like, that's ridiculous to me. I don't know how she makes the decisions. I don't understand that at all. But really, when you're looking at the numbers, you should have been able to look at it and go, Sam has Liam, and that's it. Let's get him. Even if he finds out, even if he knows, there's nothing you can do. As long as we rally what we've got and stand strong, then we should be okay. And if we're both targeting and both speaking and both like firing all that we've got at him, even Sam's brilliant wizardry shouldn't be able to get out of it, I'd hope. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that it's the late game here. And I think that's why we're seeing some interesting risky plays. Like Andrew Lee here says, it's a high-risk move to use the shield as a plan to say this is why they weren't taken out of the game. 9 times out of 10, I would not use that move if it's a no-win situation for a faithful or a trader, which is true, because if you don't have the shield the next round, then people will say, well, why didn't you get taken out? You know, so you're kind of running this high risk. It's like a double-edged sword that you're dealing with. But it happens so late in the game that it doesn't really matter at this stage, like you said, because the votes are starting to go into the favor of the traders that are left in the game. But you know, Danica is saying it would be great to have all three traders actually work together instead of against each other. New Zealand did a good job with two of them till one got voted out. Maybe off the bonus dollars, they make it to the end. For me, I actually personally prefer the traders going after each other. I think it makes it more entertaining than seeing the traders, because at the moment, it is already so difficult for the faithfuls to pick out who these traders are. Like, if the traders actually worked together, it would have been impossible. Like, there would have been no drama this season. Right, Tom?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, the traders have just got so much power in comparison. I think going back to what you said before about how you'd never play. I was just thinking about it then actually. If I played, I would pull an intentional Sarah strategy where I almost get myself voted out in the first episode, and people just look at me and go, this guy is hopeless. There's no way that they trusted him being a trader, and I just skate all the way to the final five. Like, I have to imagine.
There's a problem to this. This is the reason why I don't think traders is an easy game to play. Because if you make it obvious, like Peyton did, that was literally Peyton. He nearly blew up his own game in the beginning of the season. Or not really him. Sarah nearly blew up his game, but it got to the point where people are like, clearly he's not a trader, because you know he's gone overboard to prove that he's not capable of being a trader. So they voted him out, because if you're clearly not a trader, the traders don't see you as someone that they can pin the blame on.
See, that's why you've got to blow up your game like Sarah, not like Peyton, you know? It's a different art.
Explain it to me.
I think people looked at her and went, no idea whatsoever. I'm keeping you around. I think in the very first episode, she said something like, I'm a very laid back kind of person, or like very I don't know. She said something like that no one would ever say, like if they actually were that thing. It was like, I'm so not humble, but like I'm down to earth. I'm such a down to earth person. Like, no one is down to earth says they're a down to earth person. Nah, no one does that. So like, you know, as soon as I hear someone genuinely say that, I'm like, yep, you're coming straight with me to the end. I don't want you going anywhere. You know,
of all the games, right? Of all the reality games that we love and cover, Chris. Yes. The challenge is, you know, the more physical. Survivor probably the more strategic, right?
Traders
easily the most psychological. It's meant to, it's more about the psychology. before the mechanics. But yeah, like traders is the psychology based one. Yeah. It's about how you interact. And the freaking psychologist is one of the worst. She should hand in her, like, your thing is psychology, knowing how people think, talking with people every single day and understanding how they tick. And she's just missing everything. Listen, all over the place.
Kahuna came in hot tonight and he is taking shots at everyone. First, it's the cop.
Take
her
license, is what I'm saying. No one should go to her for psychology advice.
If one of the three of us were to play the game, I reckon it should be Kahuna, because I want to see if Kahuna can live up to this, if he can go out there and be the trader hunter. Right, Tom?
No. How about Kahuna plays traders, I play survivor, and Chris, you can, yeah, no, you can play MasterChef. I don't know, you know.
What?
You know, I
gotta get on FY Island. FY Island, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, but
I'll do the Amazing Race. I'll go travel around the world. You know, why not?
That'd be cool with Mucky.
Yes. Listen, I want to win the show, right?
Yeah, hey, at least Amazing Race has like next to no strategy, so Mucky's crazy like strategy moves can't really kill you.
I'll take Andre Lee or Chadud with me. I reckon one of those two as a team member on the Amazing Race. Easy money, Andre Lee or Chadud. Easy money. Think about it. Let's get our audition tape in for the next one.
Well, that's a good idea. But I was going to say with what Kahuna said, I after watching Annabelle's Banishment, I low-key feel like this is like the hardest game to go through. Like she was crying, and I feel that if I was her, and everyone was saying like, "Yeah, you're 100% a traitor," like when like she was literally the only person there with a brain other than Luke, I 100% think like I would cry like Annabelle did in that situation. I'd probably be yelling at everyone like, "Oh, you're all like such, you know, effing idiots and all that kind of stuff." Like I would just be going off at them, you know. So yeah, this game I reckon is tougher than Survivor in the psychological aspects.
Oh, massive. And interesting, like again, I know we've been, as we're finishing it off here, we've had a lot of good things to say about Sam so far tonight, and he's getting nothing but love on this podcast because he's playing a phenomenal game. Like, you know, like I said, if you're not a Sam fan at this stage, then I don't know if you want to finish the season. But maybe there'll be some satisfaction if he does get taken out at the end by a Camille, for instance, in the game. But even at the end, when Liam walks off and he now knows, man, maybe I am the fool of the season. I think it's coming. That realization is dropping on him because he's like, I've been trusting him the whole time. I've been saying there's no way Sam is the traitor. But somehow I've kept staying in the game. So if I was so correct about my reads, everybody that have had a read that seemed to threaten the traitors, they've been voted out of the game. But somehow I'm still here. Why is that? Is it maybe because the person I've trusted in the game has kept me here for a reason? I feel like he's slowly but surely, the veil has been lifted and he realizes the position that he's in. He realizes that he, in my opinion, and again, no shots at Liam as a person, I think he's a great guy. I'd have a pint with him any day, but may be the worst reality TV contestant we've ever seen when it comes to his reads and how he's played this game, because he's played the game for the traders when he's a faithful, right? I think he realizes how it's going to come across on TV at this point. And he's like, man, I've been taken for a fool. And he hardcore calls out Sam and Camille at the end. But Sam turns that on him so quickly in that conversation where he's like, who's the first person who mentioned Keith and Gloria? It was you, wasn't me. So maybe you're the traitor. So he's even still in that situation. Sam is not letting up, man. He's got the numbers, but I think he's making Liam believe that Liam is a traitor at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Liam honestly has no idea. I just thought of a genius idea. Liam and Sarah, Amazing Race contestants together, would be perfect. Like they'd be the perfect first boot of Amazing Race. I need to see that. All blood versus water, they can be like loved ones. That I'd love that so much.
The worst ending to this show right now would be for Sarah or Liam to win this. Let's be honest. Like, they deserve to have egg on their face by the end of the season, and we need to have a traitor standing tall winning the money at the end. Right, Kahuna?
Robin betrayed by Batman. He'll be crying. I do like that he's saying, I want to take my revenge. And he does seem to be taking it very personally. I'm like, okay, what are you going to do, Liam? Calm down, mate. Like, it's too late, buddy. There's two of you left, and you're both morons. So I don't know what's going to happen.
They still think there's there's three. They still think there's three faithfuls left. I don't think any of them are genuinely thinking, oh yeah, that they recruited another traitor. I reckon they still...
Yeah, I think there's two. They think there's two left and there's three faithfuls. I feel like that's why Liam sent both Camille and Sam are the two traitors, because I do think... And that's crazy to me how Blake suddenly... like, because at one point Blake was in it, but we clearly missed the massive conversation, like I said earlier there, because everybody was so set on going Sam, and then suddenly in the middle of it, it changed to Gloria. Like, it's just weird how these votes change, and it feels like we're not being shown everything on the TV show. But so far, I'm enjoying the season. I mean, it's, I think, one episode left before the next one should be the finale episode. We'll get to crown a new traitor or faithful winner of this game. I really think the bookies' favorites are in the high 90% that a traitor will win this season. I'd be absolutely shocked if they don't. But yeah, it's been fun talking to both of you gentlemen about the traitors episode this week. And it's been great to have a great live audience here that have kept asking us great questions throughout this as well. We'll be back next week to cover that finale episode, and we've got a lot more content coming up. So please consider subscribing to the channel, hitting the like button on here, commenting below. Even if you're watching this later on, comment below to let us know what you thought of the season yourself, or the last week of episodes. What did you think of that? And check out on the weekend as myself and Kahuna sit down to talk about The Challenge USA 2, the latest episode. We'll be covering that again over the weekend. And we'll also be back with more Wheel of Time coverage. I'll have my good friend Will with me for that one. And if you like the Wheel of Time stuff so far, there's been a lot of people that have been getting on board with it. Might be the start of some more scripted TV shows as well here on the Nullify Take channel. Like always, man, please subscribe, like Chadu is saying there, because we're very close to 2,000 subscribers. When we get to 2,000 subscribers, we will do a special live. And I'm hoping we get there before I get a job, because I'm thinking about doing a very long live, and I don't know if I could do that, but I'm working. So come on, everybody, get me there before I actually get employed. Well, I can still do like a 12-hour live stream or something crazy like that.
You know? You go, yeah. Chris, suggestion quickly. For Wheel of Time, make sure Will puts the name at the bottom of the screen, Wheel of Time.
That's because of his knowledge. Yeah. Like, he is Wheel the Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
The Wheel of Time. It should be the Wheel of Time.
There you go.
I'll let him know. Hey, thank you, everybody. Catch you guys next time. Bye.